Welcome to the GameSlave Podcast, NDK Special.
I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we're here to discuss the animes. All of them.
Well, everything that we've seen so far at the wonderful convention of Nandesucon here in Denver, Colorado.
Apparently the premier anime convention of the Rockies.
Helps that it's the only...
No, there's two. WasabiCon sucks, though.
I thought it wasn't even worth mentioning.
They're new. Give them time.
True, they've only been doing it 3 years. They have to work their way into it still. Oh, 4 years. They're still working their way into it, though. I mean, look how long it took NDK to get to the point where they had to do a crappy attendance cap.
It's understandable.
It's something that was going to be inevitable. They are very crowded in that hotel now.
I'm just amazed how many people still don't pre-register.
I know!
Oh my god.
What's with those scrubs?
I mean,
they're high schoolers or middle schoolers who can't afford to. They can only afford to come to one weekend when their parents allow them, so they have to come on Saturday, so they can only pre-register, you know, they have to register that day.
Isn't pre-registration, like, the year before, the same price as, like, a day pass on the day of?
Yeah. Who knows, you know? I didn't know about... Well, it could be two that could have been like me the first time I came. I never knew there was a convention, and I kind of heard about it, but it was still over in Lakewood at the time, and I was like, cool. I ended up not being able to get off work on Saturday, thank you very much, boss, so I can only come on Sunday, and I had to, you know, just buy the day pass. Coming on a Sunday, though, was very sad, especially back then. It ended at, like, 3 or something. It doesn't go to, like, 6 like it does now.
Yeah, Sundays, not as much goes on Sundays, but more than it used to, definitely. Fridays are still kind of the slow day, although we actually stayed really busy this year on Friday.
Yeah, we did.
Especially since nothing really started until 6 o'clock, but we were here at 1.
Well, we got some good pictures in at that time. Gave us enough time to kind of get settled in, go through the dealer's room, and eat.
Yes, congoers, please remember to eat. Take time out to eat. Kudos to the Marriott for actually, you know, providing a lot more food than in recent years, and a lot of cheaper options, too, that actually are still good.
Yep, and if you end up not being in the Marriott and being in another hotel, the Hyatt in the area has some great happy hour specials for dinner. $4 meals! But enough on that, let's talk about what we actually saw at the convention this year. Let's see, we had the creator of Gundam did a panel that was rather interesting.
One creator. He did the Gundam, G Gundam.
Okay, the creator of G Gundam.
Who also writes the manga? Who's reviewing the manga?
So that was an interesting panel, listening to him talk about basically stuff, how it got started. And we've got most of this recorded, so you'll be able to actually watch the majority of the Q&A that he did.
Oh, you're recording. I thought you were just taking pictures. I was writing down lots of notes.
I actually did record it.
Yeah, it was really interesting to just talking about, you know, what it's like working in that industry of, you know, for television animation, which you don't think about, but it hasn't been around that long. You know, Disney was doing movies back in the day, but people weren't doing, you know, stuff serialized on a weekly basis for television until like 20 years ago or something.
Yeah,
it's 40 to 50.
40 to 50. Yeah, sorry.
Which is relatively a young medium, especially when you compare it to, you know, Disney in 1910 when they were doing cartoons for movies or the start of the movies with.
When was Steamboat Willie?
This is kind of the 1920s, I believe, but don't hold me to it.
When was Oswald the Lucky Rabbit?
Or 1923.
Well, I always forget about the earlier Disney stuff. So it was kind of the beginning of Mickey Mouse, I guess. That's what people remember.
Well, the only reason I know of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit really is because of the recent push on Epic Mickey that brings Oswald back in, and then I've talked about how Oswald, the reason why Disney kind of had to stop using him is he was actually owned by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I think I was reading up at that one point. I don't remember why.
It was in that animation book that you were looking at, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was. That's where I started looking it up.
Anywho, so that was a rather nice Q&A session.
What else did we do?
Went to bands. Opening. Bands and opening ceremonies.
Oh, yes, opening ceremonies.
We got at the very tail end of opening ceremonies. It was kind of funny because the Gundam guy was doing basically the Godzilla bad voice acting for the guy that was, while the guy was translating for him.
That was very entertaining. At least he had a sense of humor.
They were doing a special. We had a moment of silence for the creator of Robotech, and they were doing a special
25th anniversary Robotech.
Yeah.
So there's been several Robotech panels. Unfortunately, I think they don't coincide in an available time slot for something because something else is going on.
Saw a concert. Saw a couple of bands.
Kaza was the first one.
They were from Japan. They were pretty good.
I actually rather enjoyed them.
Apparently they've done some sort of song for Bleach.
They seem like the style for Bleach, so.
Yeah. And then Echo Stream was the headliner for the concert. Although they each played about the same amount of time, so.
Echo Stream did 8 songs. Kaza did 5.
Yeah, and yeah, Echo Stream did play longer. They were like 10 or 15 minutes longer.
Okay.
The set. And theirs was hard to describe. They had sort of a jazz singer for their vocalist, a metal hard rock guitarist, and then a drummer and a bassist, and then a guy on electric drums making weird sound effects.
And a keyboardist. You always forget the keyboardist.
I always forget the keyboardist. He was all, well, I couldn't see him very well.
Yeah, he was kind of hidden away on me, because where we were sitting over in the press pit on one side of the stage, the keyboardist was on the other side of the stage, so we had to see through the guitarist, the singer, before we could actually see the keyboardist.
Yeah, and he was doing samples and other stuff, too. But they're okay.
I think the general consensus is we prefer to listen to Kaza.
Yeah. Although the press pass, the press concierge lady, I guess would be the term for her.
Her name's Ginny.
Ginny?
She's very nice.
Very nice lady. She handed us all earplugs before we walked in to stand right next to speakers.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being prepared. And being nice.
And this year, I think they're treating press a lot nicer, or a lot more. So it seems to be a lot more well-organized for press this year.
Yeah.
With, you know, bands, they gave us a list letting us know which events we do get in early to and which stuff we might want to particularly pay attention to, which we're not fully paying attention to this list, but it's still nice to have as a reference.
Well, we're hitting stuff up on the list. One that we really wanted to had a... Unfortunately, we couldn't get in early sort of thing and steal a seat, and so the line was way too long.
Oh, yeah. Okay, for those of you who have ever been to NDK before, the voice actor Q&A, usually referred to as vocal musings, is typically in the main hall, the main event center. Well, they moved it this year to another smaller room. So we get out of the AMV contest and we go walk into this room, and typically it's something you can just walk straight into, no problem. And there was a line basically from the first door of that room past the second door all the way to the far wall where the bathrooms are, basically, which is probably good. What would you guys say? That was 100 feet or so? 200 or 150 feet?
At least 100 feet. Basically went from the beginning of the hallway to the end of the hallway into the next room.
Yeah.
So there wasn't going to be enough room in that. And we know the size of this room they're putting them in. There wasn't going to be enough space for all the people in line.
Yeah, so it's rather disappointing because we couldn't start standing in line an hour before because we were at the AMVs.
Which were an improvement this year from past years, but there was still some things I was kind of disappointed in. Like, typically, the cream of the crop always comes in the comedy AMVs. And this time it was kind of, well, yeah, these were definitely the funny ones, and why were these ones chosen?
They just weren't as funny, is what I remember. This year it was Category X and Drama. Those were the two strongest categories. Action, to me, was a little flat. Please don't just flash things randomly, constantly. It hurts.
Lots of people in costume as usual this year, which is always nice.
Yep. Not us.
Not us, no. We're in street clothes this year. But there was a guy that was in a Gundam made out of duct tape. We've seen Optimus Prime, a lot of Team Fortress 2 stuff this year. Let's see,
Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters Steampunk.
Let's see, there was also,
Street Fighter. There's still a lot of Naruto, a lot of Bleach.
There was one person that was dressed up as a Bleach bottle carrying a Zanbato.
With the Bleach title across it. Take quite literally.
Indeed. See, I've seen a lot of Code Geass stuff this year.
We went to the Professor Layton group. Yay, Professor Layton group.
A few Dr. Horribles, I think.
Some henchmen.
Yes, henchmen from Venture Brothers.
Let's see, what was that, number 1 and number 2?
I didn't see the numbers that they put on themselves.
No, they're like 21 and 23 or something. Oh, is that it? Yeah, because number one would be, you know, the monarch.
Oh, sure, that's true. Number two would be he might have started his minions at certain numbers. Of course, I never want to be minion number one, because technically that's the minion that is responsible for all the other minions, and you're the first one that's going to get shot.
Yeah, because if you're the incompetent ones, you're not going to get shot. At least.
You're expected to fail.
I'm trying to think of any other standout costumes right now. My mind is like, just can't process. The AMVs are still, like, whirling around in my head.
There's a lot of steampunk.
Yes, steampunk. Oh, my goodness. Where did all the steampunk come from?
Yeah. Oh, there's been a couple of Scott Pilgrim costumes, which is fun to see.
Saw Knives Chow and Ramona Flowers.
And someone wearing a Future Evil X t-shirt.
I've seen a few of those shirts floating around on different people, so it must be somebody selling it here at one of the booths.
Ah, yeah.
And I just never came across it in the dealer's room. Dealer's room was packed again. Tons and tons of booths.
Yeah. Although it seemed like there were three booths that looked like they were a combination of all one company. Just because of their setup and the stock that what they were carrying?
Some of them do have similar stock, but I think it's just because, you know, if you sell manga and somebody else sells manga, you're all going to have the same sort of mangas.
True.
But it does seem to have very similar t-shirts. But there's, the t-shirts this year, there's tons and tons of.
A lot more than normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That must be the thing. Maybe everybody wants t-shirts right now.
I know, I did.
I bought one from Prayer of Dice and, I don't off the hand remember the other one, but it was basically all gaming shirts.
Wasn't that Glitch?
Glitch Gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some interesting gamer shirts.
And let's see what else have we checked out. Artist Alley. Artist Alley's gotten a lot bigger and a lot more flash than what I remember the last time I went through it, but granted, this was 4 years ago, so.
Yeah, there's still the usual lot peddling reproductions of known
fans
characters.
Art.
Yeah, fan art. That's the word I'm looking for. But there were a few that were doing some really good original art as well.
And there was a lot more crafts. I was just surprised.
Yeah, the jewelry, which is really cool.
There's, you know, steampunk jewelry. There's a lady who's making a little bit more Lolita sort of stuff with, like, the sort of headband, the lacy headbands and cat ears and collars and such. Ended up buying a dice phone charm. Yes.
Was it World of Dice?
World of Dice.
World of Dice.
Which I did put on my Twitter feed, which would have been on the GameSlave page at some point in time. It was probably, that particular post is probably gone.
But if you check out Proteus's actual Twitter page, you should still be able to see it there. Check them out, basically. They can make you jewelry and like a Zelda, you said a keychain?
They had phone charms, they had necklaces, earrings,
rings.
Bracelets, rings. They can be made out of basically any color. They use Chessex's dice. So basically any color that Chessex dice comes in,
which
you
is
can
like
100
different colors you
yeah.
can get in their sets. They also have cufflinks, which we were able to solve a quandary for them. We told them, oh yeah, cufflinks are really big outside the United States. In New Zealand, when we were there, cufflinks and cufflink shirts are all the rage.
Yeah, they were saying that the cufflinks are the biggest seller to outside the U.S. So the U.S. is just behind the times, as usual. In terms of fashion.
No surprise there.
Of course, it's probably just Americans don't want to be European kind of thing. But I like cufflink shirts, so.
Well, we digress.
A lot more video game costumes this year and such, I noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always kind of like, you'd see a lot of anime and then an occasional video game character. And I think I noticed a lot more video game characters or video game related stuff this year than I'm normally used to.
It feels like it's a third video game characters now.
Yeah, probably.
It would be my rough estimate.
And there's also
a lot of
Links. Fantasy this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of Links. There was the Team Fortress 2 characters that we've seen running around.
Lots of Pokemon!
Oh yeah, lots of people
what is with
Pokemon.
Pokemon!
Yeah, it's like Pokemon
has had a sudden, you know,
resurgence.
Second coming!
I heard you like Mudkips.
Oh, no. No Mudkips.
Whoop whoop.
No whoopers either. Oh, and also, I don't know if this is new, but, you know, yeah, I haven't been here for 4 years. They have been having a balcony decorating contest.
That's
new. For those of you who never, seen the Marriott. Basically, the center atrium area where the bar is located, Artist Alley, and some other things is open. And the rooms border along the upper level, so they have balconies facing in on this inner atrium. Well, everybody always snags the balconies just because they like to watch people below, but they've actually had a decorating contest this year. And I think the voting box is outside the gaming room, of all places.
Actually, it's outside the Artist Alley. There's a sign with the rules for it.
Okay, because I saw a sign saying, go this way, towards the gaming. And I was like, why is it over by the gaming section? Maybe I just misread that sign.
Well, it's maybe not at the, you know, at the gaming area. It's just kind of in that general direction.
Yeah. But
anyway,
there are lots of gigantic cardboard cutouts of Pokemon, a cat bus. The cat bus looks actually really awesome.
Yeah, they did a really good job with it. It's really, you know, quite accurate to the original design.
I know there's some people who are just like, I'm just going to throw all this random stuff up there and hope it looks good.
There was a nice Legend of Zelda themed one that had the
Staffles.
Yeah, it had a kind of, you know, like the Hyrulean shield, and then it had a Staphos kind of hanging over the thing with the sign that said, tell Link to clean up his Staphos.
Remains.
You clean those with the bomb, with bombs.
Yes, that makes you never, ever, ever, ever come back. I've seen a lot of, like,
I'm trying to remember if they still do that
anime things.
Did you still have to kill the Staphos with bombs in Ocarina?
In Ocarina? Pretty sure you did.
I thought you did.
I can't remember.
I don't
know. You had to kind of deal them, because the actual, like, you know, sword fighter ones, you had to kind of dodge around and try and get them, you know, when they weren't looking sort of thing. Anyway, I digress.
What are the random sort of things? I'm just thinking of random costumes I've seen. I saw a guy who was in Starfleet uniform. Saw a Star Troop.
Wait, which Starfleet uniform?
Next Generation. He was engineering. Yellow, gold, whatever color you want to call that. Yellow, gold, gold, yellow. Stormtrooper. It cannot be a convention of any sort of geeky gathering without a stormtrooper showing up. Like at the Renaissance Fair, there was even a stormtrooper there. And there's nothing that Renaissance Fair has to do with Star Wars and stormtroopers.
What if they have to hire them, like security, you know, cops or something? Stormtroopers. there's the Hello Kitty Darth Vader.
Who was actually a girl.
Yeah.
Dressed in a very hot pink skirt.
Yeah.
And top. With black. And Darth Vader helmet. Long pause as we
see. There was a group from that one anime that has the mechas and...
Boy, you really narrowed that one right there.
The one with the drilling mecha.
Aaron Logan.
Yes.
Like, the one with the mecha. You narrowed that one right down.
Well, I know what I'm thinking. Why don't you?
Hey, if I was telepathic, you know how many times I would win at, like, poker and stuff. I'd be able to spend a lot more time. Well, actually, I'd be at Black Hawk. You know, I'd purposely lose a few, win a few, lose a few, win a few. I can't just win them all straight, because then they get suspicious.
Card counter! Card counter! No, I can just read minds.
Are you from MIT? No.
You better if you can read the mind of the slot machine. But you still have to put the quarter in.
That'd be technical empathy. It's like
technomancy.
Put the quarter in, pull the thing. Come on, stop at this, please.
Dude, that'd be be Magneto and just be like, okay, and stop. Grind.
Well, then they might take your winnings away, though, because the machine's broken at that point.
Yeah.
They call it a technical malfunction. If the machine's still
Of course, I guess if you're Magneto, why would you be cheating at slot machines and not just, like, throwing them around and taking the money out of them anyway?
Yeah, it's like, why aren't you just cutting it open? It's like magnet power.
Or just, you know, like, you know, kind of cloud of change flowing out of all the machines.
Exactly.
It'd be a really cool scene.
That would be interesting to see.
Magnus, stop. You don't need that money.
Says you. You have government funding.
We also checked out the art show. I was surprised how many empty panels there were this year.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising.
It was very slim. Usually, the last time I went to the art show, I had to stand in this huge line and barely got any space. In fact, people were sharing panels because we were running out of space. Because usually you're guaranteed at least a panel to yourself. But this year, it was just like...
blank panel after blank panel after blank panel.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because of the newer rules with, you know, requiring that you have your artwork be presentation, have good presentation, which means you have to map all the work that you're showing, unless you're in the junior category. But it kind of makes it nice for the people who are buying your work, because you get an actual nice, solid piece. And the presentation just looks better.
Now, was it the art show or the Artist Alley that was done by, like, panel review this year?
The art show, I think, was supposed to be done, wasn't it?
No, it's the Artist Alley. Usually before, it was sort of first come, first serve, whoever signed up got stuff. Since they keep having so many artists, this year they actually went with a judged panel, which, unfortunately, when they first announced it, they said it was a lottery, so you're like, what the frick are you going to get, and what is if somebody's really talented? But at least that way people can individually go and look at things, so somebody who's new still has as good of a chance as somebody who's been there, you know, for several years, because it's, you know, reviewed and such. I don't think they did too bad. Most of the people that are there, I think, have a lot of good quality stuff and should be there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fan art, some of those fan art prints seem like they're all made by the same person, though, even though they're separate art.
Yeah, there's like three different tables that all look like they were drawn by the same person.
That's just because they're such, so, like, they all have that same digital kind of gloss on them, basically.
They all have the same digital gloss, but they all kind of look like they have the same style on them. I swear I saw the same picture at a few different ones.
Yeah, but there were some things that were well made, though, you know, kind of crafty. And
that's where the World of Dice people were.
Yeah, and
I also got
Did you check out those that jewelry booth that had the... It was basically jewelry made out of, in a lot of cases, antique pieces of various sorts, kind of taken apart and put together into different forms and such. So it was like old pieces of pocket watches, and it was kind of cool stuff.
I did end up getting I don't wear scarves very often, but this one just kind of was me. It's basically, in binary, it says, I love anime.
It ones and zeros in a scarf. And it's handmade.
So it's like, well, it's one of those things that I'm not going to see anywhere else. So I'm only ever going to find it here. Eh, what the heck?
Maybe you wear it in the fall and winter. Scarves are all the rage in New Zealand. So we'll just be starting the trend here. Because as soon as it starts getting colder, we're breaking out our scarves again.
Yep. But I don't think I want to wear my other job. If I get that second part of the jewelry, I'll be a sad, sad engineer.
Yeah, you might want to just take that out socially.
Yes.
Not to mention getting...
You are...
It would be nice for going to, say, Zoolites.
I don't think I've ever gone to Zoolites.
I've gone once. Many, 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 many years ago. It has to be at least over a decade or more.
We are, like, way off subject, but what Zoolites is, for the people that don't live here in Denver,
Christmas lights display at the Denver Zoo.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you can see they sell the animals that like the winter and pretty Christmas lights that... are made into the shapes of animals.
Yeah, and it basically happens after dark, so you actually get to see the nocturnal animals out and about.
And it's cold. The year Iowa, it was cold. I don't think it was there was snow, but it was definitely cold.
It's Denver, you're at night, and it's winter. It's going to be cold.
I'm going to be a wussy this year, because I haven't had cold and snow to deal with for the past 3 years.
We did have a bit of cold when we were in Queenstown area.
But now we're digressing even further. Back to things... There's a lot of grab bags again this year. A lot of them were decently priced.
Yeah, we got picked up a $20 one, and we got a few decent things out of it.
Well, if I was more into figurines and such, I'd be like, woohoo, but I'm not.
Yeah, we got two figurines, like one little assemble one, and
from the Shining Tears Sega series.
I'm glad you at least know who she is. I'm just sad that she doesn't stand very well, because one leg is oddly longer than the other.
Here's our other character, Wendy Garrett from Gunsword, which I have not seen.
I have the series if you guys want to borrow it.
You may have to.
I feel so far behind. There's too many peeps that have, you know, costumes. I'm like, what is this anime? I'm still out of the loop now. And all the companies I used to watch stuff from are gone, and Funimation has just absorbed them. All of them. I just hope they can tell me, when the frick is Fooly Cooly coming back out, because I have to buy a new set.
Why did it have to be Dragon Ball GT? Why couldn't it have just been Dragon Ball? I've actually watched original Dragon Ball. That's a good series. GT has just like gone like way too far. It's even worse than...
That's when you have Super Saiyan Mode 5.5 plus 2 whatever.
Well, then they have like the... I can't remember. It's just like Goku gets turned into a kid or something, if I remember right.
Goku gets turned into a kid, and then they use Super... He grows his tail back,
okay,
goes to Super Saiyan 4, which involves him turning into the big monkey thing, and then back into a human-type thing where he's actually an adult again with the tail. And, oh my god, it is... confusing, and like they blew up the Earth at one point and then wish it back into existence. I tell you, the Dragon Balls just seem to be, you know, the deus ex machina. Hey, we messed things up so badly we can't actually fix it. Wish!
Ah, shit, Goku died again.
Yeah, it's like,
let's go find another planet with Dragon Balls and wish it back.
It's like there's the Earth Dragon Balls, which can wish somebody to life once. Then there's the Namekian Dragon Balls, which can wish people back to life however many times, as long as it wasn't a natural death. And then there's the Galaxy Dragon Balls, which whichever planet you make the wish on will explode if you don't bring them back to that planet within a year. That's how they blow up Earth.
How did the Galaxy ones get through to begin with?
Sometimes that series. Oh, God.
I'm surprised how much two of you know. I've never
heard. I used to watch Z when I was young. It was on, you know, Saturday morning cartoons or something like that.
I remember it being
okay, whatever! Big explosions!
My biggest problem with Dragon Ball always was the immense amount of indigestion these guys must have had or something.
Syndrome.
I shouldn't have eaten the Indian food!
It's like, he's powered up. We need to stop him. Quick, throw him some Pepto-Bismol.
Now that's how we ended up with Mosh and Boo or whatever.
True.
Are those the pink guys with the tentacle thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
He turned things into chocolate and then ate them.
Yeah, generally. Well, people. He turned people into, like, foods and then ate them.
Okay.
He was a villain.
I know, that sounds like
a villain. Well, he's one of the villains that turned into a good guy. Yes, he eventually turned into a good guy.
Was that after he turned into the really evil guy?
Was
that before he was, like, you know, cruel, like, as a kid kind of villain?
Yeah, he's, like, cruel as a kid kind of villain, and then I think he got split off between the kid type, the innocence, and the actual evil.
Right.
Okay!
So, we are way off topic on the fact that we're at NDK. I think that's pretty much because we ran out of stuff to talk about a while ago, related directly to that, and just kind of went on anime and other tangents.
Yeah. As we do.
As we do.
That's the fun part about listening to podcasts, is people go off on these tangents. It makes it interesting.
You never know where you'll end up with thegameslave.com.
And with that, that's probably all that we have for this podcast. But stay tuned. We are going to have pictures and video and a couple of interviews that we've done with some con guests.
And other things. Don't know the other things are yet. Other things!
We're going to surprise you.
You can't see the smile assimilator.
Sorry.
Ding!
So, here. As usual, check out our webpage at thegameslave.com.
Send mail to mail@thegameslave.com.
And check out our t-shirts at spreadshirt.thegameslave.com.
You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Just search for our name. You'll find it.
And in the meantime, have a great sometime between a fortnight and a week. Depends on how ambitious we are. In the meantime, game on!
Game on!
Game on!